Hey, what do you say? This is Pastor Ethel Harper. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Radio Show. I am so glad that you came and joined us today. We have a great show today. We're going to be coming out of Acts, the 15th chapter, and we are just excited. Amen. We're looking Valentine's Day in the eyes. Amen. We're looking at it head on. And I hope that for those of you that are married, that you have stolen a little piece of time that you can spend with your loved one. For those of you that have fiancés and girlfriends or boyfriends, I hope that you have put some time away that both of you can spend that loving on each other, spending intimate time with each other, just letting each other know that you are special and that you are loved and you are cared for and all those good things that result from Valentine's Day. But I do send out a word of caution. I'm not agreeing with couples that are not married to go forth in any other thing. Amen. We got to make sure we keep this holy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My sidekick, Gentleman Elder Harper, he's not with us today, but that's all right. Keep him in your prayers. But before we get started, I want to get some housekeeping out of the way with our public service announcement. Old Fashioned Gospel Temple Ministries is located at 1303 D Street in the lovely city of Las Vegas. Our church services are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30 a.m. on Sundays. We have a great teacher. A gentleman, Elder Harper, is our Sunday school teacher, and he's doing a great job. Our Sunday morning worship begins at 11 a.m. every Sunday. Our Bible study is on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We have a new Bible study for seniors. It's called Inspire. It's on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 1 p.m. Want to let you know that February 6th was, it was a success. Our What's Love Got to Do With It campaign, where that we go out and we offer donuts and coffee to the men and women, our first responders of Las Vegas, Nevada. It truly was a success. Channel 5 News came out. And we were able to be on the news, and also North Fire Department, EMT, and the police department, they sent their media, and it was put out there for them. And we just thank God for all the men and women that came down and participated. We thank God for Channel 5 News. We thank God for the media, for the fire department, the EMT, and police department. We thank God for them. But it truly was a success, and we enjoyed ourselves. And we just thank God for the opportunity that we were able to do that for such deserving men and women here in Las Vegas. We are going on to our calendar. March 6th, we have a prayer breakfast that's coming at 10 a.m. We are inviting those that would want to come and enjoy in our prayer breakfast. We will be praying for our brothers and sisters all over the world. On March 14th at 3 p.m., it will be our third annual Deacon's Day. And so we are looking forward to a high time in the Lord for that. March 27th, beginning at 7 a.m., we will be giving out Easter basket, food basket giveaway. We give out baskets to the needy. We did this for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And so now we're going to, we're forwarding this to Easter. And so March 27th, we will be giving out food baskets at 7 a.m. For those of you that are interested, please call 502-715-1615. You can call that number if you want to donate. If you want to donate non-perishable foods, call that number to schedule a time to drop off your food donations. And also call that number if you want more info. We also are soliciting your help in doing this. Amen. And if, you know, the Lord moves your heart, you know, the Lord pricks your heart to help us, please go to our Cash App, which is at $OFGTM2018, and help us with your best gift that we can give back to the men and women, amen, that will need a food basket for Easter, amen. Our winter revival begins March 25th through the 28th, March 25th through the 27th nightly. We will have our winter revival at 6:30 p.m. And then to finish it off, amen, we will on the 28th, which is Sunday, we'll finish it off at 3 p.m. We invite everybody to come out and be with us then, amen. We're looking for a high time. We have several speakers that will come and impart, amen, into our souls. So you don't want to miss this. You want to come and be a part of this, amen. You want to come and let the word speak to you. You want to come and let God revive the spirit that's in you, amen, that we, amen, once again, amen, can get on fire for the Lord, amen. We looking forward to this revival, that God show up and show out, and that he, amen, revives us again, that we can continue, amen. The word says that the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Listen, we want to get you back on fire, want to get us back on fire, that we get back out there in the trenches, that we get back out there in the highways and the byways, and that we do the will of God. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Old Fashioned Gospel Radio Show Public Service Announcement. Thank you for listening. Amen. And now back to our program. Amen. We are in Acts, the 15th chapter, amen, today. So get your Bibles out, amen, get your iPads or your phone, amen, whatever that you have the Word of God on, amen, and let's go, amen, to the Word, amen, hallelujah. We told you that we do devotion. Amen. And then we go right into our, amen, we'll go right into our program. Amen. Praise God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Do not pass me by, calling Savior, oh Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art gone, only do not pass me by, calling Savior, oh Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art gone, not pass me by. Amen. Amen. If you go with me to Psalms, the 37th division, amen. We'll begin at verse 1 and we'll read, amen, all the way down to verse 10. Amen. Again, Psalms, the 37th division, verses 1 through 10. Amen. Again, I'm reading out of the King James Version Bible. Amen. Praise God. The Word of God reads as thus. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord." Praise God. Welcome, Asia. Amen. God bless you.
Hey, Mama.
Amen. Amen. Verse 3 of Psalms, the 37th division. Amen. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Verse 6 says, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Verse number 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Verse 8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Verse 9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And verse 10, our final verse, says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Amen. We thank God for his word. We ask God to bless it. Amen. The reading, the hearing, amen, and the doing of his holy word. Amen. Pray with me. Amen. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Father God, for our listeners, Father God. We thank you for our guests. Lord, we just ask you that now, Lord, that you let Esau decrease, Father God, and now let your Holy Spirit come and speak to your people, Father God. Lord, speak to my mind, speak to my heart, Lord. Lord, let the words of my mouth, Father God, and the meditation of my heart, Father God, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, that you please, Father God, touch somebody's heart today. That, Father God, that they, Father God, be changed today, that their whole minds, their hearts, Father God, that their life will turn in another direction, Father God, that they will seek you early, Father God, that they will give, amen, they will surrender to you, they'll give their life to you, Father God. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give your name the praise, all the honor and the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God. Amen. And amen. It is such a blessing. Amen. Well, hello, Asia. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
This is my daughter, amen, and it is a blessing to have her with us today. I forewarned her. I told her that I need, amen, somebody to read for me today. And I thank God that she was obedient and just came on, amen, and came, amen, to help her mama out. I love you, daughter.
I love you too, Mama.
Well, today, amen, we are coming out of, amen, Acts the 15th chapter, and we are beginning, amen, at the 22nd verse, amen. This is Acts 15. This is the Acts 15 decision, amen, that was done, amen. We just thank God, amen, for the word of God, amen. So we are going to, I'm going to ask that Asia would please read Acts 15, 22 and 23 for us today.
Okay. So I'm reading the King James Version?
Yes.
And it reads as follows. Then please, if the apostles and elders with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia.
There we go. Amen. Amen. Today we're talking about some sensitive stuff. And the reason why that I say it's sensitive is because chapter 15 and verse 22 tells us that they sent these men down to the Gentiles in Antioch because there was a need. They were setting the house in order. And what had happened, if you go back to Acts, the 15th chapter and the first verse, we're told that certain men went down to these Gentiles in Antioch, and they didn't go down. They weren't sent down there by the apostles. They went down there of themselves. And so we want to make sure that we say that they had to set the house in order because there were some that had come in and they had brought confusion into the church. Now, listen, we have this going on in churches all over the world. We have people that were not sent by God, but who say that they were sent, but they come, amen, as wolves in sheep clothing, amen. They come in spouting, amen, that they come in spouting that God has sent them, and they have a word for the church. But the word that comes out is not of God, and it confuses God's people. We got to be careful how that we put our mouth on God and say that God sent us, and God really hasn't sent us anywhere. It's our own thoughts. It's our own thinking. Amen. That stinking thinking that gets us in trouble every time. When we go and try and say that, you know, God has sent us to a particular thing and God hasn't. See, God would treat us like the sons of Sceva. Amen. We'll run out. Amen. The enemy will come in, amen, and cause you to go out seven ways. Amen. You better be careful about putting your mouth on God saying that he sent you and God really ain't sent you. You know, you better be careful. You know, it's a whole lot of that going on with preachers, pastors, teachers coming into the church talking about that they have been sent by God, but they come in bringing in, you know, division. They come in bringing in mess into the church. You know, we got to be careful. Amen. And then, you know, we're talking about these Gentiles in Antioch. You know, they were new Christians, you know, and that's what happens all over the world. We got new people coming into the church and they watching, you know, what's going on in the church. And this is the thing, when they can see that the world is inside of the church, they want no part of the church because they were in the world. They were getting beat up in the world, and they came into the church thinking that they were going to get a little peace in their life. But when they get into the church, they find that there is no peace in the church, that everything that they was facing outside, they were going through, is right in the church. We got to be careful how that we present God's, you know, God's house. We got to be careful how that we, you know, who are supposed to be representatives of the word, how that we are, you know, presenting ourselves to others that are new to the fold. Amen. Well, praise God. We're gonna go on to praise God. We're gonna go on to verse 24. Amen. Can you read verse 24 for me?
Mm-hmm. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment.
So, here, they're telling them that, you know, these people have come down to you, and we didn't send them. They're telling them that these people have come down, you know, and they have subverted, amen, your soul, okay? Subverted means to undermine, you know, the power and authority of. They've come in and they've told you that you must be circumcised, amen. Circumcised means that, you know, they had to cut off, the men had to cut off the foreskin, you know, and keep the law. But this is the thing, amen. When we begin to teach that when we begin to teach obedience without faith or without the grace and mercy of God, which he has given us, that's legalism. And so we got to be careful that we're not teaching these things to our brothers and our sisters, that we're giving them a false hope. We can't tell them that. The Bible says that if we live by the law, we'll be judged by the law. But Jesus came to set us free. Why did he come to set us free? Because God knew that we could not perform all 410, whatever it is, 420 laws that was back then. We could not do them all. And so Jesus came to fulfill the law. You know, not that the law is done away with, but he came to fulfill it so that, you know, we were no longer bound under the law. You know, and I thank God for that. I thank God that he did come, that Jesus did come and fulfill the law, giving us, opening up to us the grace and mercy of God. The Bible says that while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the Bible says that God was reconciling us back to himself through Jesus Christ in the sacrifice that Jesus made. And so I'm so grateful for that. I'm so thankful that we have a God that thought about us way before we were even thought of, amen, that he already had worked out this thing, amen, of salvation. He already worked it out through his son, amen. And so we just thank God. But let me tell you about those people. You know, those people that come in and they subvert your souls, and, you know, they're trying to remove people from the doctrine of grace and move them to another gospel. Gospel means the good news. So what other good news is there? You know, if we try and move people from, you know, if we're trying to move people from the doctrine of grace, which we're under we're under grace now, you know, how can we move it to another? What other good word is there? What other good news is there? There is no other good news except for Jesus Christ, that God has, you know, adopted us and set us on high with Jesus Christ. You know, that we are not of this world, that this is just, that we're passing through. Hey, this is not our home. You know, we have to realize that there are people that are sent, amen, in from, you know, the devil to come in and try and get you to believe a false doctrine, to try and get you away from what the truth is. Jesus told us that he is the truth, the way, and the life, amen, and that there is no other way, amen, that we must come to him in order to get to the Father. And so we just thank God for that. We thank God, you know, that today that we're learning something, amen, that we're learning, amen, that, you know, they told them that they have to be circumcised. Listen, the Bible says, amen, that we must circumcise our hearts, amen. The Bible talks about us circumcising our hearts, amen. It has nothing to do with that, amen. It has nothing to do with you going to go be circumcised, circumcision, amen. Now, you know, if we wanted to circumcise our children, amen, you know, they do it, I think it's like 8 hours after that the child is born, amen, and then they cut the foreskin. But God wants us to circumcise our hearts, amen. Circumcise that foreskin of our hearts. He said, out of the heart come evil things, amen. That who can know the heart, amen. And so that's why God was saying, circumcise your heart. Be no more stiff-necked over in Deuteronomy the 10th chapter, amen. You know, we've got to not be like we were out in the world. We got to be careful how that we talk to God's people. We got to be careful how that we encourage them. We got to be careful what that we pronounce in the ears of other people. We got to make sure that we are building them up and not tearing them down. Amen. Amen. Also, amen, we want to deal with that, you know, that we have a lot of people that stand up in the church, amen, and you know, they say that they speak for the whole, amen. Let me tell you, that's the worst thing that they have in churches, where you have people that get up, whether they on the trustee board, whether they on the deacon board, mother board, whatever it is, that they say that they represent the church. Listen. Nobody represents the church but the word of God. Amen. Nobody represents the church like Jesus can. Jesus, amen. Jesus is our representation. That's what we have to look at. Amen. You can't allow a person to get up and talk in the church and say, amen, that they represent the whole entire church. Sometimes, amen, you have to realize, and this is true, whether it be a man or a woman, you don't know the heart of that thing. You don't know the heart of the matter. You don't know what's in that person's heart. So you better be careful, amen, about people standing up in the church saying that they represent the whole church. No, that's not how it goes, amen. If it's not Jesus Christ and him crucified, leave that thing alone, amen. ACL, would you read for me Acts the 15th chapter, verses 25 through 27?
Yes, ma'am. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have half-hearted their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth.
So it said that it seemed good to us. Amen. Thank God. Thank God that you have people. Amen. And, you know, that God has truly put over, we call them under shepherds, that God has put in our life. Amen. That will send. Listen, we got preachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, bishops. I want to cover it all. Amen. Apostles. Amen. We got people going out there saying that God, you know, is in them and lives in their hearts or whatever, but they are not for the people of God. We got to be careful. Verse 25 says, and it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord. That means they were of one mind to send chosen men. Amen. When that you have men and women, amen, that stand behind the pulpit, but they won't send others to come and see about you. You got to be careful about that ministry. Listen, people that confess to know the Lord, they will send others when they can't go to our sick and shut-in. They will send others to see about you, knock on the door, call you to see how you are doing. That's what the work of a pastor is. The work of the pastor is to be about the flock that God has given them. And what we have to do is we have to be mindful of God's people. We need to get back to how it used to be. See, church for me, when I think about church, I remember that the pastor would send out the elders or the deacons of the church, and they would go and take communion to those that weren't able to come to the church and take communion. I remember church of old when mothers, you know, who were up in age and couldn't get out, you know, legs wouldn't let them get out. They weren't sick, but them legs or their bones wouldn't, you know, let them get out into the cold, or, you know, they didn't move, you know, like we move, us younger, you know, the younger generation. The pastor would send the elders or the deacons, he would send them to their home, you know, to see about them and send them a word, you know, or to sit down and read the Bible with them or just to encourage them. Where is that at today? Today, you know, we're depending on an iPad, or we're depending on a phone, or, you know, we're depending on, you know, some other electronics, you know, to take the place of that. But listen, we got to get back out to doing the footwork of the Lord. We got to do that. Verse 26 says that these men had have hazarded. It means that they put forward, or they positioned themselves, or they volunteered their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to get back into position, my brothers and my sisters. We got to get back to putting ourselves out there for the Lord. We got to get back out there and get our feet moving for the Lord. We can no longer depend on a phone app what else do they have out here? We can't depend on, you know, a phone service that will call them and leave a message. It's not like us calling, you know, them hearing a voice. You know, they don't want to hear no machine. They want to hear a voice. Look at what's going on. These people are hurting. You agree, Asia?
I definitely agree.
Yeah, I mean, these people are hurting now. They need to hear a voice. They need to hear, you know, somebody that's trying to reach out to them in this time, this age. What's going on, this COVID-19 experience? What's going on? I mean, there's so much panic, so much, you know, so much uncertainty. And we've got to get back to doing, you know, God's work. You know, people would laugh at people if they had their Bibles under their arm and, you know, they was out on, you know, Saturdays, or they was out during the week. I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm talking about just the regular church. People would laugh at them. Ooh, what you doing out here? And why y'all doing that? Because this is the work of the Lord. That's what, you know, we laugh at the Jehovah's Witness, but, you know, they've got it right. Get out, get out. Stop sitting in your house. Stop sitting in that church. Get out of them four walls and let's go and do the will of God. Let's go into the neighborhood nobody wants to go in. So what that we have to go 20 deep? Let's go 20 deep, you know, and let's go and tell them the good news. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So here we go. Amen. We're going to verse 28. Read verse 28 and 29 for me.
Yes, ma'am. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon ye no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which If ye keep them yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well.
My Lord, look at what they came to tell him. It said, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. That means they were under influence and direction of the Holy Ghost to come to them, right? But not to lay any greater burden on them. Listen, when we talk about burden, right, we know that Matthew 11 and 29 tells us, it says, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. They wasn't trying to come and burden them with a whole lot of stuff because they knew that they were new Christians in the Lord. Amen. But they came to bring them a word. Verse 30 of Matthew 11 and 29, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It says no greater burden than these necessary things. They came and tell them the necessary things. And ACL, we talked about this last night. You know, we talked about that ye abstain from meats that are offered to idols, right? I said that there are countries, there are peoples that offer still today their meat to idols. And we got to be careful, you know, because, you know, we got to be careful how that we eat our food. Don't eat foods offered to idols, okay? And then it says, and from blood. We're told that we are not to eat blood. We are not to drink it because the Bible says that the life is in the blood. My God, come on, somebody hear that in the spirit. The life is in the blood and from things strangled. We know, amen, that the Bible talks about don't eat anything that has been strangled or torn. Amen, don't eat that thing. Amen, it's not good to you. And then from fornication, look, how many times, amen, are we going to overstep this word? How many times are we going to just look at it and look away? How many times are we going to let fornication be rampant in the church and not say nothing? We got young men and women, amen. The young women are coming up pregnant in the church and they ain't even married, amen. You got men and women in the church sitting right up under your pastor, amen, and don't nobody, amen, try to encourage them, amen, to stay away from fornication. Listen, old-fashioned gospel temple ministries, I am dogged. I'm dogged about doing the will of God. I'm dogged about telling my brothers and my sisters. I'm dogged about telling the young men and the young women to wait. Amen. Wait on God. It's better to wait. Amen. The Bible says that if that you are going to burn with passion, if you find yourself burning, amen, that you can't wait, amen, it's better to marry than to burn, amen. Again, I say it's better to marry, amen, than to burn, amen. And if you can't wait this thing out, young man, young woman, then it's better to go and get married to that one, amen, that you know, that your passion is so heavy, you just can't wait. Don't get married. Amen. But don't shack. Amen. And don't fornicate. And, oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, please don't even walk over on that word that says adultery. Don't be trying to be with somebody else's spouse. Amen. Whether it be male or female. Stop going out here and going to hotels and be with people that you know ain't even your husband or your wife. Come on. I'm telling the truth. Amen. I know you might not want to hear, but it's the truth. Amen. God, you know, God, look, God is not mocked. Whatsoever that a man or a woman, whatever that you sow, you shall reap. Amen. Yeah, don't go out there sowing seeds of fornication or adultery, because guess what? That thing will come back on you, and it will not feel good. Okay,
it's an uncomfortable truth, but it's the truth.
Amen. It says, from which if you keep yourself, you shall do well. You shall do well if you stay away from that unclean thing. That's what the Bible says. Come out from among them, amen, and get away from that unclean thing. Don't do that stuff, amen. And then it says, amen. Fare ye well, amen. My God, my God. God is trying to get us, amen. God is trying to get us, amen, back on track. Listen, you know, I'm one, amen, that I say, I'm looking at the signs of the time. I'm looking at this pandemic, amen. I'm looking at this COVID-19 experience. And God has spoken to the entire world, amen. God has shut, amen, everything down. Why? Because listen, when God is trying to speak to us, amen, he doesn't just do it, amen, how we think, oh, you know, I'm just going to talk to this one, you know, this one part of the world. No, God talks to all of us, amen. And so he's trying to get our attention. Somebody better be paying attention, amen. Because listen, mm-hmm. If I go back into the word, and I'm just going to take you back here just for a second, because I just need you to just think about what I'm saying. Do your own research. Go back into the word and read the word. Go back to the word and listen to what I'm saying. When Moses was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, and the Israelites, amen, they began to murmur. And Moses told them, you're not murmuring against me, you're murmuring against God. And God got tired of them murmuring against him, that God told them that he was going to, they were going to be in the wilderness, but they weren't going to make it over to the promised land. They had a land full of milk and honey. Everything was plenteous, what God had given to them. But these people who came out of Egypt weren't able to get there. It was their children that got there. Ladies and gentlemen, you better hear me. It's us old people that's leaving this world. And this new generation, these kids, these are the ones that are going to take our place. You better hear me. You better hear me. If you ain't getting this, it's us old people dying out and our children are living after us. If you don't believe me, look in the news. It's a young man and a young lady. It was him and his sister. His whole entire family died and left him and his sister. They were the only ones to make it. They're the young generation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I'm not trying to scare anybody. The Bible says that when we see these things, don't fear. It say, look up, because our redemption is nigh. That's what the Bible says. Our redemption is nigh. Don't get afraid, but go to your word. Study your word and see what the word says about this thing. Amen. It says that we've got to remember that God talks to all of us. And when God is trying to get your attention, you know, people talk about that small, still word. God has a big word too, you know. And I tell people, you know, God will call your name. You'll be running around and you hear God call your name, and then you go to somebody and say, did you call me? And then they tell you no. Look, you better pay attention. Amen. There ain't nobody but God trying to speak to your spirit. Amen. All right. So here we go. Verse 30 through 32, ACS.
Yes, ma'am. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the apostles,
It's epistle. They had delivered the epistle.
When they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them.
Thank you, Jesus. So when they had done what they were sent to do, right? When they came and they brought everybody together in Antioch, they went down to the Gentiles, and instead of everybody wanting to start a ruckus or start confusion and mess in the church. Everybody came together and read what the word was sent to them, and it says that they what? They did what? They read it, and they rejoiced for the consolation. They rejoiced that word had been sent to get the house together. Amen? And then verse 32 says that Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted or urged the brethren with many words, with a rhema word for that day and that time, a good word, a blessing for the house, and confirmed or established them. Won't God do that? Won't the word just come in, that rhema word for the house of God? Won't it come in and bless your hearts? Yes, it will. Amen. They received the word. We got to receive what God is trying to say to his people. We got to receive it with gladness. We got to receive it with joy on our heart. Amen. We got to receive it, you know, and then, amen, rejoice that the Lord sent, amen, he sent, amen, them to encourage them. He sent them to establish them. He sent them with a word, amen, on the mouth, amen, of his prophets, his apostles, to speak to them and encourage them. That's what needs to be going on today, amen. We gotta encourage one another with the word. When we see, amen, when we see the day approaching, we've got to encourage one another. Look, stay strong, my sister. Stay strong, my brother. Yes, I see, amen, I see that these things are coming to pass. I see all this stuff. It's all coming, amen, it's all coming to fruition. But I'm encouraging you to hold on just a little while longer. Keep your hand in the master's hand. He got you and me in the palm of his hand. And he said that we are in his hand, who is able to pluck him out? We've got to be able to encourage one another like that. Wouldn't you agree, Asia?
I definitely agree.
Amen. Amen. I've been talking so much. You wanna say something in there? You got something on your heart that you'd like to say? Or
I just definitely, you know, I believe that we as a people, and I'm just talking about the whole world, we all have started to count on our own understanding when it's not this life and how we go through it. It's not necessarily for our understanding. It's for us to live and make sure that we live a life that at the end we can be proud of. And I don't feel like you can be proud of a life where, you know, you didn't have something to hold on to. And for me, that is God. That is something to hold on to believe in. And a lot Amen. Of times I find myself thinking, like, not thinking, I find myself hearing God speak to me, and he constantly says that we have to stop listening to people. We have to stop listening to men. We are humans. We don't have the answers. We have to start listening to God. And I truly believe that what we are going through right now is exactly what you said, is God speaking up, saying, you don't hear me anymore, and I need for you to hear me.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I agree with that. I'm in agreement with that. It is so important that we, again, get back to where we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that we do what these men did. They said that they hazarded their lives. It means that they volunteered their lives to the Lord. They surrender. And that's something that we got to get back to. Us as people of God, we forget that, you know, the Bible says that where we are weak, God is strong. And, you know, in order to surrender, we have to surrender our lives, our everything, our children, our marriages. We have to surrender all that to God. But what happens is the enemy comes in, and the enemy wants you to feel fearful, be fearful when that you surrender to God, because it leaves you vulnerable. But what a vulnerability to be in the master's hand, and I'm vulnerable. Because I know that even though I'm vulnerable in the master's hand, can't nobody pluck me out of his hand. Can't nobody get me out of there. Even though I'm weak, I'm in the master's hand. But when I'm weak, he is strong. God is just trying to get us to see that. He's trying to get us to believe it. He's trying to get us to stand on it. You know, he's calling us up a little higher. And I say to all of you who are listening today, it is so important that we understand. It's going to be a whole lot of stuff. The Bible tells us that it's going to be Antichrist coming into the church saying that they're sent of God. Don't you believe it? Don't you dare waste 1 minute on it. You know, you better know this word for yourself, because the enemy will come in with the truth because he knows that you know the truth. You know, did not the enemy come to Jesus in the wilderness and say, "For has not, amen, God said, has not the word said?" He knows the word like you know it. But you better know that you know that you know that you know this word. That when it comes time that you have to regurgitate this word, and that you have to say it, amen, and speak it, amen. I always tell people, if you're so afraid that you can't say nothing else, say Jesus, because at the name of Jesus, demons must flee. At the name of Jesus, the captive are set free. So I'm telling you, amen. Don't forget, amen, Jesus. But we trust that you know the Lord today. And that he is the focal point of your life and all in these last days. But if he's not, my brother, my sister, do you want to know him? Do you want to make the Lord of the Lord today the Lord of your life? No matter where you are, or you're at your computer, your phone, your tablet, whether that you're on the phone listening to us, you can make the Lord of your life today by doing a couple of things. You trust me? Listen. Bow your head with me and repeat after me. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my life and cleanse me of my unbelief. I believe in you and in salvation through the blood of Jesus. I turn from sin and I trust in Jesus alone as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My brother, my sister, boy, girl, if you prayed that prayer, we are told in the word of God in Luke, the 15th chapter and the 10th verse, that all the angels are praising God for you for accepting the Lord as your Savior today. Now, I encourage you, my brother, my sister, boy, girl, get into a Bible-believing church. Get into a Bible-teaching church. And don't sit down on God. Amen. Because God won't sit down on you. Get in. Get your feet wet. Amen. Don't sit in the pews. Amen. Work out that thing where Paul said that faith without works is dead. Look, get in. Look, we said at the beginning of this show that the harvest is plenteous and the workers are few. Don't you be counted with the few. You get in. Amen. I mean, don't you be counted, amen, with those, amen, that won't work in the vineyard. But you go, amen, and be counted as the few, amen, that will go out, amen, and do the will of God. We thank God for you. Thank God that you were with us today. God bless you. I want to say to you, my daughter, Asia, thank you for being with us today. Before that we go, we only got like 1 minute. Just say some good words, and then we'll get off the air.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me, Mom. Everybody, you know, stay prayerful and believe in God through this, and we'll come through the other side together. Amen.
Amen. This has been Old Fashioned Gospel Radio. If the Lord deems it, we'll be with you again. Amen. Not this Friday, but the next Friday. Amen. Until that we meet again, we bid you adieu. God bless you all.